Not that cricket. It has been a few weeks, I'd say about 2 months, is it? The last time I did a Clubhouse End podcast episode, and a lot of things have happened. And I'll be talking about that. It's on the eve of a tour by Afghanistan. A couple of matches have already taken place. And it's been a mess, and some good bits, and some mess. So I'll talk about that in a bit. And then I'll give you my own preview of the Afghanistan tour, telling you about the squads that have been picked, my thoughts on the Zimbabwe squad to be specific. And as this Clubhouse End podcast is particularly about the game in Zimbabwe. So let's first talk about what has happened over the last couple of weeks. Zimbabwe lost 6 out of 8 matches against the South Africa A side. It was a really strong South Africa A side that came to Zimbabwe. Hey, yours truly did some commentary, had fun doing commentary with Tinashe Chimbambwe as well as Tino Mawoye, the great Tino Mawoye. You'll have heard him across the world. He's done commentary not just for matches involving Zimbabwe, but he's also done matches involving Bangladesh and other countries. So, and then also there was Darlington Matamba Nadze. He was also involved, as well as the man Stato. He's with the national team. I was able to do commentary on all, say, 8 matches. There were 3 one-day matches and 5 T20 matches. It was fun times. There were good, some good performances. What's his name? Sikandar Raza showed himself as an option for the T20 qualifier that's happening. I'll talk a bit about that in a bit. He performed really well, and there was also some encouraging performances from the young man that is Milton Shumba, who bowled very well when he did bowl. Not great. It was. Well, I think Zimbabwe are missing the bowling of Ryan Burl, who hurt his hand during the domestic tournament, during the T20 domestic tournament. So they were missing him. They were missing a bit of that cleverness in terms of bowling. Wellington Masakadza has got injured during that series, and he's out for a bit, and is going to miss the Afghanistan tour. I'll talk about that squad a little bit later. So there were some positives, and Tanaka Chivanga also came and showed he can bowl quite a bit. I think his biggest problem is, I think his concentration isn't as great as it should be. He has a good spell, and then a little bit later he doesn't really, you know, get himself warmed up nicely, and so he's to be able to do things like bowl the same consistent line in it. So in a T20 he doesn't quite load the same way he did in the first section. And then there was Zimbabwe then played 5 T20s against Namibia in Bulawayo. They won the first match, lost the second, won the third, lost the fourth. They were on and off, and then they lost the final match, in which and Namibia were able to win the series 3-2. And I was like, wow, bro, wow. You know, losing to Namibia, that's it. That's what happened. And there's no way to sugarcoat it. I just don't think that if you are a serious test-playing nation, you should be losing to Namibia. With respect to Namibia, they're not a great team. They're a good team. They're a good associate team. And they performed well at the World Cup. But with the level that Zimbabwe should be playing at, they shouldn't be losing to Namibia. But congratulations to Namibia. They are very professional. They got the job done. This was certainly an upset, in spite of the fact that people say Blessing Zarabani was away, and there was no Sean Williams and a couple of other guys. And then there was a point that we only found out this after the tournament was done. I mean, the series was done, that Ryan Bell at some point caught COVID. And at the same time, what's his name? The skipper, Craig Irvin, also caught COVID. But Wesley Madebele finally got some runs. He hadn't gotten runs in a while. He had consecutive 50s. One of them was he equaled his best score of 73. and then he scored a 50 in the following match. And for me, you know, there's no, yes, you're missing some players, but still, it's bad. So I remember a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned that new coaches were named, but we haven't seen Lance Klusner. We had not seen him. I heard that he was coming in just a few days before the match, but I just kind of feel if you've got a batting coach, should have been there for the Namibia matches, should certainly have been there for the South Africa matches. I don't know what kind of batting coaching he's going to do, because there's some serious issues in the batting in Zimbabwe. The top order is just a disaster waiting to happen, and every so often they'd lose a wicket in the first or second over, and you'd find Craig Irvine essentially playing like an opener, really, sometimes coming in the first over. And they played around with it a bit. There was a time that even Donald Tiripane came in to bat at number four, did quite well. But it's just kind of like the batting is just terrible. It's horrendous. It's a joke. And on the bowling department, there was no bowling coach has been officially appointed, but we saw Njabulo Ncube seems to be doing the bowling coach duties. And I saw the former bowling coach, that is Douglas Hondo, he's in the setup somehow. Apparently he's doing work in as far as action. He's very good at that. I saw him helping the ladies with action, so apparently bowling action, that is. So now that's happening. Going to the NPL, that was done. Gladiators won the tournament without losing a match. They won it because they didn't lose a match, but they, on the final day, the match didn't go ahead. They were playing West Side, but it wouldn't have mattered because then Takashinga won, who were closest in as far as beating them and so forth to the title, lost their match. And so Gladiators won it. Their first ever. It's the second NPL. Takashinga won. They were then just Takashinga. Won the previous one. So now there's NPL T20 with the top six playing. That's going underway. The top six being Gladiators, Takashinga 1 and 2, as well as West Side, Wilayah Athletic Club, as well as Alliance. There's an NPL top T10 that's going to take place that has 8 teams. The thing that was worrying for me about the NPL is the number of times that the teams did not bat the allotted overs. So 45 over games, very few teams batting first actually batted their whole 45 overs, which is troubling. Australia have now confirmed their dates for the men's ODI series against Zimbabwe. That's happening on August 28, 31 and September 3. That's happening in Townsville at the Riverway Stadium. And that's in Bindle Land. That is the first time that Australia are going to play on that ground. Yeah, there have been matches before. Papua New Guinea played a series there at some time. This was 2014, and those were official one-day internationals. But they're the first time that Australia are going to play an ODI is at that ground. So they're only going to play 3 ODIs. There are no T20s slated. So yeah, Zimbabwe traveling all the way there just to play ODI matches. And the big news, the ICC T20 Cricket World Cup Qualifier B will be held in Bulawayo at Queen's Sports Club and Bulawayo Athletic Club, and will run from 8 to 18 July 2022. Zimbabwe in the same group with Jersey, Singapore and the United States. The other group has got Hong Kong, Netherlands, Papua New Guinea and Uganda. The United Arab Emirates and Ireland have qualified from the other qualifier that took place earlier this year in Oman. The two teams who play in the final will qualify for the T20 World Cup Finals in Australia this October. That is the one in the qualifier B. So from 8 to 18 July, a festival of cricket taking place in Bulawayo, and I'm so happy for the people of Bulawayo. And now going to the ODI squads that have been named for the 3 ODIs. The 3 ODIs, of course, are part of the ODI Super League. I must also mention the Australia matches are part of the ODI Super League, and that's why they have to be played. And also the first time that Zimbabwe is visiting Australia in 18 years. Yeah, it's been a while. Let's look at the Afghanistan squad first. Hashamtullah Shahidi is the captain. Rahmat Shah is the vice captain. Azmatullah Omazai, Farid Malik, Fazal Haq Faruqi, Ibrahim Zadran, Ikram Ali Kyle, Muhammad Nabi, Mujib Yohara Rahman, Najibullah Zadran, Ramanullah Gobaz, the great Rashid Khan, Riaz Hassan, Shahidullah Kamal, Yamin Ahmad Zia Yor Rahman Akbar, and the traveling reserves are Noor Ahmad and Nijat Masood. If I pronounce any of those wrong, please forgive me. On the Zimbabwe side, I'm going to just run through the squad and then I'm going to comment my things. Craig Irvin is the captain. And, of course, Regis Chakava is the vice-captain, the substantive, that is. Ryan Burl is the squad, and as is Tendai Chatara, Tanaka Chivanga, Luke Jongwe, Takuzwa Nashe, Kaitano, Clive Madande, the young, exciting wicket-keeper, Wesley Madevere, Blessing Muzarabani, Dion Myers, who's around during the school break, Ainsley Lovu, dropping back in there, Sikanda Raza, Milton Shumba, and Donald Tiripano. The last guy to score two centuries for Zimbabwe in ODIs, that is Sean Williams, is not in the squad. He's not been able to get fit on time, but I'm told he might be fit for the qualifier proper. And for me, that's another problem. Last year, Zimbabwe, the national team, the men's national team, did not have a single person scoring a century in ODIs. The only test-playing nation that played ODIs last year and did not have a single person scoring a century. So you see how dire the batting aspect when it comes to Zimbabwe is. So the only one not to score a century. And this is a test-playing nation. Right, it's all sorts of ridiculous. We're all going to miss Richard Ngarava. He's got an injury to his back and a lower back injury, and then to his shoulder, Wellington Masakaza. But I think the option of Milton Shumba bowling little quick left arm is a very wily old young customer. He's a fast learner. I've seen him from the way he plays. He's a guy who bowls wicket to wicket. And he's able to bowl quick balls and so forth. And some of them are very difficult to play. So Zimbabwe will be hoping that he will have that effect in as far as the game is concerned. But the batting, if we're looking at that opening, you're probably going to look at Regis Chakava opening with. Would you open with Regis Chakava? Yeah, I'll probably open Regis Chakava and Takuzwa Nashe Kaitano. Craig Irvin, Mr. Dependable, coming in number three. Then Wesley Madevere at four, since you don't have, unless you push Sikanda Raza up to four. So Wesley Madevere and Sikanda Raza either way. Milton Shumba coming in at six. And then you're going to have, maybe you go with the Donald Tiripano. Yeah. Then afterwards, it's the spinners. You probably, I don't know, would you risk going with Ainsley Lovu in this match? I don't know. He's someone who's very easy to put away. That's the other thing. Oh, I have forgotten about Brian Burns. He's going to come in somewhere. So I don't know who I'll be taking out of there. So, and then in terms of the bowlers, it's probably going to tend to, of course, besides Donald Tiripano, Tendai Chatara, and then you look at Blessing Muzarabani. That's what you're looking at. I don't see Dion Myers playing this particular series. For the reason that he has not been playing since he's been in the United Kingdom, because he's not allowed to. He's there on a student visa and is not allowed to play cricket. So when he went away in February after the Sri Lanka, was it Ireland or Scotland? I can't remember what tour it was. I think it was the Scotland, Ireland and Scotland tour. When did those happen? Just forgotten. But all that time that he's been away, I should have written that down in my notes. After the time when he was gone away, I'm just going to Google it. There's nothing wrong with Googling it while I'm talking. After he went away, he has not been playing. And when I spoke to him, he said, well, I've been practicing. And I don't know what that means. He says, I've been practicing and training and so forth, but there's nothing like playing out there, and that's going to be problematic for him. I think. Because when he's come in Zimbabwe, when he played in the NPL, didn't do too well. He played for Takashi Gawan. And he also played in the warm-up against the Afghanistan team. The Afghanistanis did very well there. But Innocent Kaia, who was the guy who top scored, got himself a half century. But there was not much else to see. He was run out for like 5 runs or something like that. But it was single figures. And for me, it's kind of like one of those, like, because of the dearth of talent, because we don't really have much in that respect, we happen to get somebody who's really undercooked, very lacking in match practice, and coming into the squad for the Afghanistan tour. I know that the director of cricket, Hamilton Masakadze, is a big fan of him, but you know, if the talent was there and you had people who had form in the team, then absolutely you're not having to call a kid who has promise but is not, hasn't played much cricket, and you're putting him into an ODI side for an ODI qualifier for the World Cup. It just doesn't make sense. I must also add that one of the things that Zimbabwe has struggled with, and it seems to, it's also happened too many times, that winning mentality and that inability to win 2 matches in a row, just string 2 wins in a row. And I don't know. I asked the Zimbabwe coach, Lalchand Rajput, what the feeling was in the camp after the loss, and what was being done to make sure that, the players behave themselves. Like, it's annoying. I know. They behave themselves. Like, how do you not be, every time Zimbabwe win a match, it's like, it's almost done. It's like, yeah, they seem to be happy to have done it, and if they lose the next 5, it doesn't seem to matter. I know there are guys who seem like it bothers them, and the other guys, you can see from body language, it doesn't seem as if losing bothers them as much. Not to say it doesn't, because I don't have any evidence to the contrary. But, yeah, I asked him, and this is what he had to say.
Because the winning mentality has to come from it. I always say that cricket is played skill level in one part, but it plays 9 inches above the shoulder. This is very important where our mindset is. If we have a winning mentality, the hunger to win, I think that's the key, because we won one game and then we relax a little bit because we have won a game. So I think that consistency in performance is very important, and you have to make it a habit of winning. Because it's a habit, like losing becomes a habit, winning also becomes a habit. So we've got to make that habit of winning consistently and putting our best foot forward every game. We don't have to be happy in one game that we have won, but no, we've got to be consistently in our performance as well.
And after losing to Namibia, what is the mood in the camp?
I think that's a history now, because that's gone. We just say that we have to move forward. We've got to be in the present. This is a series where we are looking at playing against Afghanistan, because these are the Super League games. We've got to try and win these Super League games and get some point. Because if we win, I think we have a good momentum into the World Cup qualifier. So I think the mood is very good, because we have done a lot of hard work. We had a center wicket practice 2 days, now we got 4 days of net practice. So we are finding our ways where we can be better, and people are working on it, and I'm sure there will be better results in this series as well.
So yeah, do come out to Harare Sports Club. That's where the matches are taking place in Harare. The matches between Harare starting off on Saturday. Entrance is $2 for the rest of the ground. And if you want to go to the Embankment or to the Centurion, it's $5 each. If you get there, if you've got my contacts, or go on Twitter at Quirirai, do get in touch with me. I'll maybe come down and take a selfie with you or something like that. But yeah, do come through and support the boys. I think one of the things that you see other countries have, I'm watching the series between New Zealand and England right now. You can see the crowd, the noise of the crowd, and it just adds something, and it lifts the players. You can see it doing that. You saw it in the IPL and all sorts of matches. So do come out and catch some good cricket. Anyway, that's that. Thank you very much for joining me. We'll have another podcast as a post-podcast for the first ODI. and a pre-podcast for the second ODI. Yeah, so it's the Clubhouse End podcast. So throughout the ODIs, I'll be giving you my summary of what I think the matches have been, and then I'm also on the T20. The T20s one are probably going to be very tight because there will be T20s on Saturday and Sunday next week. So this, 2 days in a row, I might decide to do one podcast or just do one very short podcast as an end of day podcast. We'll see what we'll do. We'll figure something out. Yeah. Otherwise, take care of yourself and the people that you love. Remember that this podcast is a Three Men on a Boat production. And also, you can find it on all the platforms. You can go into iTunes. You can go onto Spotify. You can go onto Google Play. It's available across the board. So, yeah. Thank you very much. Take care of yourself and the people that you love. It is the Clubhouse and podcast. My name is Larry Quiradai. As I say, from where I come from, Asili Siasebeza. Take care of yourself.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show.